Hello.
Good morning, church. That does sound a lot better. Hey, I have a couple things I want to share with you this morning. So we got thank you. Can you hear me? Okay. Got a thank you from Amy Howarth, dear Open Arms Christian Church. It was very good to visit and share with you all. Thank you so much for your love and support and prayer serving the kingdom of God. I pray for God's continued guidance and blessing over your church family. Together in Jesus, Amy. So that came, that'll be on the, put that back on the missions thing. Secondly, we have been praying for a family. We've been praying for, I just want to give you an update, Stephen Strobel. Tuesday he had blood work done, pathology, all that stuff. Well, I talked to him Wednesday night. He's looking good. He's starting to put some weight back on that he had lost during the chemo and radiation. He did not know what his results were, and of course, like any other one of us, you know, Ohio Health has this thing where you go to them and they send you reports to your phone or to your email or whatever. So Wednesday night when I talked to him, he hadn't heard back from the pathology report yet, and he said, I don't know, Matt, I'm worried. He said, I'm reading these reports, and oh my gosh, it's, the numbers are better, but they're not where they should be, and blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, okay, dude, well, I said, listen, I would shut that stuff up. He said, yeah. He said, I can't even look at it. So Thursday, he messaged me and said, hey, thank you for all the prayers. I wanted you to be the one of the first ones to know I am cancer-free as of right now. There's no guarantees it won't come back. But he was at a pretty low point there last spring, and he's in a pretty good place. And he and I talked about, you know, the power of prayer and the power of God and what God can do. And, you know, he's starting to really believe that now. So I hate that somebody has to go through this, but I think maybe he's learning through it, and that's a beautiful thing. But he is cancer-free, so that's pretty cool. Then Friday, I was in a store in Mansfield, a Dollar General, and I was talking to the manager, and this guy's a great big dude. His name is Fred. And I said, how's it going? He said, Matt, he said, I am just wore out this week. I said, oh. I said, they pile a lot on you? He said, no, I had chemo yesterday. I said, Fred, what are you having chemo for? He said, well, I've been having chemo since 2017. And I'm not medically inclined. But the type of chemo he's doing is he had some spots in his liver, I think he said, and they shoot the chemo right in through a vein into the, so it doesn't, I mean, this dude's 6 years with this, and he's healthy. I mean, it's weird how that, you know, I mean, so he's really cool, but keep him in your prayers. His name is Fred, I don't know his last name, but God knows. So there's a lot of answered prayers going on. A lot of situations still need bathed in prayer. You know, 2 weeks ago I asked you to pray for me, and you know, it's weird when people pray for you, you feel it. You really do. Because I had 2 miserable nights sleep because that eczema, they're calling it, was just like prickling. And you know, ever since that Sunday, I've been able to sleep pretty good every night, and stuff's getting better. It's still, the doctor tells me it's just going to be something you battle with every time you catch a virus or whatever. It's going to flare up. Okay. So, thank you for that. Okay, now I'm going to start, but I'm going to start with something we have had over the course of our history, not our history, but the history. A lot of famous brothers. Can anybody name some of them? They can be biblical. They don't have to be biblical. Anybody? Cain and Abel. It's a great one. The Wright brothers, they were on my list. I believe the Marx brothers, right? Maybe that's comedy, I don't know. But in the world of sports, we've had some famous brothers. Right now, we have two brothers that play for the Cleveland Indians, and they are Josh Naylor and Bo Naylor. And they have a third brother that's in the minor league system, and that's pretty cool, too. But then we have, there's a whole bunch. You can go on. The list can go on. We have, back when I was growing up, we had the Bash brothers. Anybody know who they are? Played for the Oakland A's. Mark McGwire, Jose Canseco. And these dudes were just hawks of guys playing baseball. They were the biggest dudes I've ever seen play baseball. Now, it's come to find out why they were so big. They took some steroids and whatever and got big. But they were good baseball players. In basketball, who do we have, Jackson? Okay, we have Steph and the other one, Seth Curry. But Steph's also part of a brotherhood. What's his brother? The Splash Brothers, right? In this church, we have a set of brothers. They're not related. I'm going to call them the Ketch Brothers. Okay? Jackson and Bo, and I'm going to embarrass Jackson a little bit, and that's okay. Jackson and Bo play wide receiver for our football team. And these dudes have polished their craft. They've worked with the quarterback. The quarterback trusts them. He throws balls in the places he shouldn't throw balls because Jackson and Bo will let him get the ball. And they're fun to watch. I mean, these kids are fast. They jump. They got great hands. Jackson, you got 11 touchdowns? No, yeah, I know. I'll get back to that in a minute. Bo has 9. So 10 touchdowns, 9 touchdowns. 2 weeks ago, Jackson had a 3-touchdown game against East Knox. Here's why I thought he had 11. Jackson returned a kickoff. And as a kick returner, you got one job. That's to beat the kicker. You got one guy to beat. That's the kicker. Jackson got hauled down by the kicker. I mean, phenomenal. It was a phenomenal run. I didn't know Jackson was fast. But I've seen him run away from people, and it's pretty cool. But you know what? Through the whole thing, if those two aren't getting thrown the ball, they still do their job. Okay? They still do their job. Yeah, they're the game breakers. They're the touchdown makers, whatever you want to call them. I'm going to call them the catch brothers. I may license that and get hurt. I'm not sure. But they're fun to watch. They're fun to watch. If you haven't seen Northmore play, they're at home the next 2 weekends. It's going to be cold, but they're pretty fun to watch. And he's in volleyball. They're getting ready to start their tournament play. Brenna probably starts this week, tournament play, this Saturday. Abby will start the following Monday, I think. You know, we got a lot of kids that are a lot of involved, and that's pretty cool to see. Now, my announcements are done. I'm going to turn this over to God. Heavenly Father, I just come before you, and I take a breath, and I, as I reflect on where you're leading me today, I ask you to take the wheel, shut my mind down, and let my tongue speak what you want me to speak. In your name we pray. Amen. Now, I'm going to talk to you today about a guy. Actually, we're going to be in the 51st Psalm 51 today. But I want to give you a little background on a guy. And the reason I went into brothers was David. We all know the story of David, right? He had brothers that were serving in the army, whatever. He went and he basically defeated a giant, killing Goliath. David becomes king. And when we did Bible school, man after God's own heart, the whole deal, he was blessed, right? Because he always trusted God. Everything he did, he trusted God to handle. Now, we all think, oh, David just had this perfect life, right? He was a king, he lived in a castle, yada, yada, yada. David committed adultery with Bathsheba. Okay, Bathsheba was married to one of his commanders in his army. Then to cover up the adultery, David called his commanders in and said, hey, send this guy to the, or go to the front. I want you to lead him into the front. And then when the fighting gets fierce, I want you to pull back and leave him sitting there. So what we find is David is not perfect. David is not perfect. He is just like you and I. He commits sins every single day. We're going to 51st Psalm here. This is after David had committed adultery. He writes this. In verse 1, have mercy on me, O God, according to your unfailing love, according to your great compassion, blot out my transgressions. Wash away all of my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I know my transgressions, and my sin is always before me. Against you, you only, have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight. So you are right in your verdict and justified when you judge. Surely I was sinful at birth, sinful from the time my mother conceived me. So, and I didn't give a title on this, and I guess you could call this Woe Is Me if you want. Here, David, he's in a period in his life where, man, he knows he screwed up. Right? He knows he screwed up. And I don't know, has anybody here ever murdered anybody? Not yet. Well, Barb would be the one. So my point to you is this. No sin we're going to commit. Sin is sin. But no sin we're going to commit is as bad as what sins that David committed. Okay? Yet, David was still blessed by the Lord. God wants to bless us. Okay? We got to get over the fact, because we've all said it from here, we've said it out there, we all sin. We all shall fall short of the glory of God. But guess what? We get it anyway. Excuse me. But if, as we read these first five verses, here's why David was blessed. Yes, he committed the sin. But the first thing he does is say, have mercy on me, God. Sometimes the first thing we do when we commit a sin is we try to brush it under the rug or hide it. You know, my kids did that stuff growing up. They tried to hide, well, two of them did. They tried to hide stuff. Shelby tried, but usually about three words into it, she was fessing up. Lindsay, I'm not sure. We always knew what they did. You know, some things they told us later in life when they were adults, it didn't surprise Chris or I that they did it. We knew they did it. It just took them 17 years. But man, it feels good when you get rid of that sin. Okay? We have got to own our sins. David owns his in verse 1 through 5. And he cries for mercy to God. Not because of anything David did, but according to God's unfailing love. Do we really understand that even though we ask for forgiveness, it's not the act of us asking forgiveness that gives us the forgiveness. It's because of God's unfailing love for us is why we get forgiveness. We don't deserve it. According to your great compassion, blot out my transgressions. Wash away all of my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. When we go to God in prayer, do we really... excuse me. Do we really... David's laying it all on the line right here. He's saying, God, you know what all my sins are. Sometimes we try to... And it'll go back to that 7 times 7. Sometimes we try to compartmentalize and we say, hey, God, you know, you remember yesterday when I said that? Forgive me of that. Well, that's fine. Guys, we sin all the time. We need to ask him to wash all of our transgressions away. All of them. Don't hold anything back. He'll do it. Once we have that conversation with God, then what do we have to do? We have to forgive ourselves. And we can never forgive ourselves if we don't ask forgiveness for God first. Because that's ultimately who we're hurting. All right, let's move on. But it cracks me up that David says, surely I was sinful from the time my mother conceived me. Now, I don't know whether David's... I think his heart was pure, so I think he's saying, you know, since the first time I took nourishment from my mother when I was in her womb, I was sinful. Pretty cool. Verse 6. Yet, you desired faithfulness even in the womb. You taught me wisdom in that secret place. Guys, I don't know how we can read this, that verse in particular, right there, where David says, you required wisdom from me in that secret place. Yep, you can tell a 7-year-old you don't know enough about to accept the Lord as your Savior. It's biblical. It's biblical. Cleanse, verse 7, cleanse me with hyssop and I will be clean. Wash me, and I will be whiter than snow. Let me hear joy and gladness. Let the bones you have crushed rejoice. Hide your face from my sins and blot out all of my iniquity. You know, David saying, hey, you know, and here's what I want you to understand. David's asking him to not look at his sins and hide. When God looks at me, you know what he sees? This. He sees his son who died and covered all of my sins. He sees me white as snow. And I'm telling you, I'm not white as snow. Create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me from your presence or take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and grant me a willing spirit to sustain me. So this is the part where David says, hey, here's what I really need, God. Create within me a pure heart. Have you ever asked God for a pure heart? Maybe we should. But I like what he asked for a second. And renew a steadfast spirit within me. Guys, without that steadfast spirit, without the Holy Spirit in our lives, we cannot have a pure heart. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and grant me a willing spirit to sustain me. So, when we think of our salvation, we should think of joy. Sometimes when we think of our salvation, what do? Man, we we wander. I don't know. Maybe it's just me, but I think there is no way I can have that salvation, because man, look at the things I've done. Guys, that salvation is yours for the taking. That salvation is there because of what his son did on that cross. Then we go into verse 13. And this is kind of David saying, hey, here's what I'll do for you if you do all for me. Then I will teach transgressors your ways, so that sinners will turn back to you. Deliver me from the guilt of bloodshed, O God, you who are my Savior, and my tongue will sing of your righteousness. Open my lips, Lord, and my mouth will declare your praise. You do not delight in sacrifice, or I would bring it. You do not take pleasure in burnt offerings. My sacrifice, O God, is a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart, you, God, will not despise. May it please you to prosper Zion, to build the walls of Jerusalem. Then you will delight in the sacrifices of the righteous, in burnt offerings offered whole. Then bulls will be offered on your altar. When we choose salvation, when we choose God, we still have a job to do. We need to go out. We need to go out and spread the word. Teach people God's ways so that all sinners will turn back to him. Deliver me from the guilt of bloodshed. You know, we all get guilty from time to time. Guilt's kind of like worry and all that other stuff. What does guilt do? All it does is drive a wedge between you and God. What I want you to understand is you're going to screw up. David screwed up. But you know what? He came to God and he said, man, purify my heart. Purify my heart. And sometimes we go through the motions of prayer. We've proved time and time again that prayer works. Time and time again. We've seen miracles in this church that there's no reason they happen other than we turn it over to God. He wants to deliver each and every one of us. But when we pray, man, we need to open ourselves up. We need to open ourselves up so that God can work on us. He can show us. He can teach us. You know, about, I don't know, 4 or 5 months ago, I was kind of in a ho-hum at work and going through the motions. And I contend it's because I was holding something back and I wasn't exploring my faith. I wasn't exploring other people's faith like I should have been. I wasn't sharing God's love and God's mercy and God's grace all the time, every day at work. So I made that a point over the last 3 or 4 months to really go out and do that. And you know, just like this Fred guy at Dollar General, I would have never known that had he and I not talked. And that's not a pat on my back. That's a God thing. Because by nature, man, I want to go in and get my job done and go home. But I've had some real in-depth conversations with some of my customers over the last 2 or 3 months. And I found out, you know what I found out? I'm not the only Christian out here. I'm not the only Christian I serve. And a neat story, my boss actually left, stepped down, and he was a guy that was in Chris and I's wedding, and I had a pretty good relationship with him, and I was pretty nervous about who was going to replace him. So I met this guy last week. His name is Nick. And when I walked into his office, and, you know, our numbers aren't great. They're okay. They're not great. But we didn't talk shop at all. You know, we talked about my family, his family, and God. That was first impressions, people. That was pretty cool. And again, that wasn't... Come to find out, this guy's a born-again Christian. 4 or 5 years ago, he accepted the Lord as his Savior, and he now has his mind and ours type of thing at home. He's got two stepsons, two stepdaughter, or a stepdaughter, his daughter, and he's got some older children, and then he has a step-grandbaby that they're raising as their own. So, again, God is at work. But you got to let him be at work. You can't shut him down. And that's what David's saying here is, I commit myself to you wholly. Not part of me, not my work self, not my home self, my whole self. And guys, when we get to where we do that, we will see the results. We have to increase in our prayer life. We have to increase in our Bible life. And we have to increase in our personal time with Him. I don't care how many minutes you spend with God a week, but when you're there, and I tell my kids all the time, you know, we, like Christmas now with basically two son-in-laws and Morgan and three daughters, it's scary. I mean, it's the schedule's just, you've all experienced it. What I tell the girls is, when you guys are here, just be present. That's what Jesus wants. That's what God wants. When you're with Him, be present. Don't do it half-heartedly. Be all in. When you're spending your 10 minutes or 5 minutes or half hour or 3 hours with God in the mornings or in the evenings, whenever you do it wholeheartedly. He's going to show you stuff. You're going to learn more during that time than you can listening to me. But be wholehearted in your time with the Lord. And then that's going to lead you into other ways you can serve. But have joy in salvation. Do we know what joy looks like? I can tell you what joy looks like for me. You know, when Jackson's hauling in those 48-yard touchdown passes, man, you just see the whole crowd beside you. That's what joy should look like. That's what we should look like every day of our lives. Because we have better than a touchdown. We got an eternal life to live with our Lord and Savior. And if you can't get excited about that, but man, it's easy to get excited at football games or basketball games. Let's get excited about our Christianity. And you know, this psalm, I wasn't sure how that would tie in, but it did, because David was in a low point. He was in a low point. He had done the unthinkable. But you know what? He had the knowledge to go to his Lord and Savior. And he was going to wipe it off of him. And we've all seen it when we had kids. You know, we'd be coming into church or going to a family function or going to somewhere nice. And our 5-year-old had just a dirt ring around their face from the mud pie they were eating earlier. You know, what do we do with that? Well, we wipe it off, right? My kids just get so mad when I do that. But I'm telling you, when I come back to Jesus, he says, Matt, I got this, and wipes it off. And that's pretty cool. He can take care of anything you have. Nothing is too big. Nothing. And if you're going through a hardship, turn it over to God. If you're going through a tough time in your life, turn it over to God. The example David gives us, because, I mean, this dude had done the, I mean, he, I don't even know how, I don't even know, it would take me a minute to even have the courage to go talk to God about what I did. Right? Because of guilt, because of shame, because I'm mad at myself. David said, God, do this because you're going to show me your mercy. Do this because I want to have the joy of your salvation in me. Do this because I want to become a Christian and go show your love. He will do it. No matter what you got going in your life, turn it over to God. He will take care of it. Let's close. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you for everything you do for us. But we thank you for your mercy. We thank you for your grace. Most importantly, Lord, we thank you for the salvation you give to us and the knowledge that we can spend eternity with you in heaven. And while we don't grasp that all the time, Lord, just let us dig deeper into our relationship with you, and let us dig every single day and then go out and show that love. Lord, all the examples you provided us in the Bible, just point us to those examples when we need them in our time of need, Lord, and just bring us all back to the center of you and the cross and the salvation that comes with it, Lord. We love you. We thank you. We give you all the praise and glory. In your name we pray. Amen. So we're out of time. Invitation. The praise band will be here. We'll sing a song. And you know, fear is a liar. Sometimes I don't like that song because it convicts me. But turn it all over to him. He wants you in your brokenness. He wants you in every situation you're in, and he will handle it. Don't listen to the fear. Turn it over to God.